When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Broadcasting from Terrio Studios in Glendale, California, it's time for Epic Real Estate Investing with Matt Terrio.
Yeah. Hello. Hello and welcome to another episode of Epic Real Estate Investing. Hope life is treating you well. And if it's not, let's see if we can improve things a bit today. And if your life happens to be rocking right now, hey, I couldn't be happier. And let's see if we can make it even better. Deal? All right. Quick announcement before we get started. If you haven't heard, I'm going to be making some significant revisions to the Epic Pro Academy. I'm going to be doing that over the holidays. And to make it easier on myself, I'm going to be closing the Academy to new members on November 17th. So I have that time to go ahead and do everything that I want to do. The Academy, it's still going to be accessible to existing members. It's just shut down to new members so I can focus on fulfilling my vision of the perfect real estate investing academy that I had when I first created it. I got sidetracked a bit with my own investing and never completed it how I wanted it. So here's the opportunity for you. The current membership fee for the Academy is still at the launch promotion price. It's been that way for over a year. I never changed it. I never had the opportunity, just didn't get around to it. So I'm just gonna go ahead. I'm gonna leave it at that price until November 17th. And then when I reopen in January, I will reopen at the regular price, of which will be double what it is right now. Right now it is $497 for an annual membership. And here's the good news for all the existing Academy members that purchased the annual or platinum membership, as it's referred to. If you purchase that, if you're an owner or a member under the platinum membership, the annual membership, you will be grandfathered into the lifetime membership. So that's my gift to you. And actually, I will extend that same offer to any new member that joins before November 17th. Now, if you want to take advantage of that, go to epicproacademy.com and click the join tab. Epicproacademy.com, click the join tab, and there you go. Do that before November 17th, and that annual membership is a lifetime membership to you. Now, let's get on with the meat of today's show. I've been receiving very favorable comments about the episodes of this show where I interview past coaching clients, where I interview Epic Pro Academy members, and just overall, many of you have told me that you just like hearing from real investors that have nothing to sell or no agenda by being here on the show. And I can appreciate that. And I'm happy you've all shared that with me because, you know, as it's that type of philosophy that's in alignment with what this show is all about, the foundation of this show, real world real estate investing education, telling it how it really is. So on the phone today, I'm joined by just such an investor, happens to be a member of the Epic Pro Academy. And So without further ado, I welcome to the show Mr. Jesse Milner. Jesse, welcome to Epic Real Estate Investing.
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's going very well, sir. And you?
Fantastic.
Super. Glad to hear it.
Living the dream.
I love it. So I'm very happy to have you here. Thanks for taking time out of your day to chat for a while. To get started, can you just share a little bit about your background and specifically what was life like for you before you started to, or before you decided to become a real estate investor?
Sure, no problem, Matt. And first of all, I'd like to thank you for all you've done for me as far as my real estate investing career.
But welcome.
Yeah, roughly about, I would say 2.5 years ago, I still am. I'm in the military, also as a reservist, and also work a government job. And I look back, and after the last 10 years, I realized, you know, I'd been either deployed or away from the family for about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you said before, I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And we never had any certainty about where we're going to be, what we're going to do. or anything like that. And so, finally I decided I was going to be a real estate investor. And I know it's kind of crazy, but one day I just walked in and told my wife that's what we were going to do.
So, where did that inspiration come from? Of all the things you could have become or decided to do?
No. It really came out of desperation. To be honest with you, I knew my grandfather had done it. He came from nothing, and he slowly bought houses, and he did really well. My uncle, he had also done it too. So I knew it worked, and I also knew that it was something I could do. That was what I knew I could do. I didn't know anything else really. That's just, I knew I needed to change things, and I knew that I wanted to be financially independent, and I knew I wanted to have something to pass on for generations.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not going to invent the next iPhone, so I knew I could do this, and that's kind of where it was born.
Got it. So you had an example within your family that you know, that's where it gave you the belief and the confidence that this would work.
Yes. I did. I never really asked for details of how they did it, but yes, I knew that it was possible and I could do it.
Okay, perfect, perfect. So once you made that decision, what'd you do first?
So after my wife was being very cool about the entire process. After, you know, we agreed that this is what we're going to do, I searched everywhere. I read everything I could. I went to RIA meetings, anything and everything I could possibly think of as far as learning, I did.
Mm-hmm.
For the first 6 months, we didn't really do any action besides learning because I was about to deploy again. At that point, and I looked at the emails, I contacted you when I was deployed, and everything you said and your website, and it just made sense. So, you know, you responded quickly, and it was going back and forth, and so I just started listening to everything you had, taking notes, and when I came back from my deployment, I started to put a plan in action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got it. So, when did you return? By the way, thank you for your service, Jesse. I know the government hasn't been so kind to our veterans that are fighting the battle for us, fighting for our freedom. And I want you to know that that doesn't go for the country. We all very much appreciate your service.
Thank you, Matt, and I appreciate yours as well.
You bet, partner. So you returned from deployment. So am I assuming over while you were deployed that, you know, you just kind of immersed yourself in education and just did everything you could to learn. So once you returned, you were able to pull the trigger.
So once I returned,
no pun intended there.
I was ready. I was out the gates. I literally did everything you said. I wrote yellow letters. I did created a website. I did Craigslist. I even did bandit signs, which gave me the opportunity to network police officers at 2 or 3 in the morning.
I've been there.
But you know, that's what we did for probably 4 or 5 months. And we got a deal.
Mm-hmm.
We got a deal off of that. And we bought a buy and hold house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As we move forward.
Let me stop you there real quick, Jesse.
No problem.
Sent out yellow letters and put up signs and ran internet ads. You did that for 5 months before you got a deal. Is that correct?
I did that for 4 or 5 months before I got a deal.
That's awesome.
Now,
the reason I even brought that up, because I think that's more, I get a lot of people that say, I've been doing this. I sent out yellow letters for 6 weeks and no one's called me yet. I've put up signs last weekend and I didn't get any calls. And so I just wanted to point out that you pursued this, you performed the right activities, you did them consistently, but most importantly, you were persistent with that action, and 5 months, you got a deal. So awesome. All right, continue the story.
No problem. And you say persistent, my wife says obsessive, but I guess it's the same thing. so, yeah, no, and I was thinking back on this I think one of the reasons, and you mentioned this in a previous podcast, I think one of the reasons was because for the first few months, I didn't really know how to talk to people. And plus, I was nervous. Mm-hmm. So some of that point was there could have been deals in there potentially as well. I didn't know how to capitalize them on at that point. But after 5 or 6 months, we bought a property, and I was going to wholesale it, but it was too good of an opportunity, so we held it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
From that point forward, you know, I kind of realized that for a while I just thought wholesaling was the only option. It's great, but we started budgeting, and if I could pass on anything, that was where it changed for us.
Mm-hmm.
For us, once we started realizing that, you know, your house is where the business begins, as far as is your business, and this is a business. And once we started budgeting, and we saw where, you know, money was going, and how we were basically taking care of our money, we saw that, you know what, hey, we can maybe afford a house.
Mm-hmm.
We started actually buying houses.
Awesome.
And make a long story short, we started buying houses. We live in Washington, D.C., in the area. But we started buying houses in Charlotte, North Carolina, because, mm-hmm. just as you said, the numbers make sense over there.
Mm-hmm.
We developed a team, and right now we're looking at our fifth personal house, and we've actually brought in two investors. And overall, we have eight houses, five we own, we're looking at our fifth. And we're managing three for two other investors.
Ah, awesome.
So, and kind of a side note, that first house we bought from wholesaling, we end up selling. We held it for a year so we could take advantage of the 1031 exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And we made about $86,000 and bought two houses, basically.
Oh, man.
No money down.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Congratulations. And I mean, I knew you're doing well, but you haven't shared any details with me. So I'm hearing all of this for the first time, just right along with everybody else. Let's go back to that first deal. Of all the marketing strategies that you had employed, where did that deal come from?
It was a splash page.
Splash page. Okay.
I created the website, like you told me, and I got a hit. Even when I got the hit, I still had to go. I went to the owner, and we had to work out. She was actually having problems with the current. She was renting the place with the current tenant. And as you mentioned before, sometimes you have to be a counselor. And mm-hmm. she just needed somebody to give her the courage to guide her through the process. And she was kind of being taken advantage of by the tenants. And, we still talk to this day. It's kind of crazy, but I still talk with that lady.
Actually, it's not crazy because that's what happens in this business is you help people, you create relationships, and sometimes they become friends. Sometimes they become referral sources. So it's not crazy at all. That's how it happens. So nice work. It means you're doing it right.
Right.
So you took over that property. So what were the... Can you give me kind of the structure of how you acquired that property?
So, okay, this is going to be kind of confusing.
I'll try me.
But we bought the property. We bought it at a considerable discount. Once I saw the discount, it was too good to not keep.
Mm-hmm.
So we kept it. I initially had it as a lease purchase for a prospective buyer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had it as a lease purchase where somebody would come in and pay me a certified check down payment. We had agreed terms and agreed future price for 1 year. From that point, there was a certain amount that of the rent every month that I'd put toward writing down the sale price, if you follow me on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're applying a portion of their payment to the principal?
Correct.
Okay.
From that point, in all and all repairs because it needed some cosmetic work and it just needed some fix up, but nothing serious. There was actually, you know, there was somebody living there the day of closing. So they were responsible for all fix up, repair, maintenance, HOA fees, anything like that, with the understanding that in a year's time, they would buy it at a set price.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did all the fix up, and they did a great job on it, matter of fact. But when a year came, they decided not to exercise their option.
Got it.
I don't get it either, because even the price that we agreed on was probably about 10 to 15% below market price. But they didn't. So at that point, I immediately put it on Craigslist because I didn't want to deal with a realtor or anything like that. It became a bidding war literally overnight. So it was, I probably sold it for maybe $15,000 to $17,000 more than I had it on Craigslist for.
Wow.
It was an all cash deal.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Cool. So there's a couple things there. So you purchased this property at, or excuse me, how did you actually buy the property? How did you acquire the property? Did I miss that part?
Conventional financing.
Conventional financing. Okay. So you went to the bank, got a loan.
Sure.
Perfect. So once you owned it, then you went and your intention was to do a lease option as your exit strategy, right?
Right.
Okay.
I just wanted to, I didn't really want to pay for the repairs.
Sure. So part of that lease option was that the tenant would do the repairs.
Correct.
Perfect. Okay. I love it. And then when the option came up, they didn't want to execute. And you slapped that thing on Craigslist, and because it was actually a deal, it attracted a lot of attention, which caused a bidding war, and, you know, demand drives value, and you got to sell it for a whole lot more than what you wanted for it. Did I get all that correct?
That's perfect.
Awesome. Congrats.
Thank you.
Great story. I want to go through the actual details so everyone can actually follow along and learn exactly what you're doing. So I love it.
Sure.
All right, so that one was in the books. You pocketed, what, $86,000, you said? And then what happened next?
So after that, I kind of decided, I have a job that, one, doesn't, I have to work. I don't have a lot of flexibility in my time. It requires a lot of hours. And, you know, my family is my number one priority. And, you know, the wholesaling thing for me at this time wasn't the most effective use of my time at this point. Now,
right.
Later on when I'm full time, I will go back to that. But I decided, you know what, my best use of time is to probably just save our money and slowly buy properties that fit a certain criteria. So we created a cash flow criteria for future properties that we were going to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Once we created the criteria, we actually kind of started looking at census data and other factors, and we found the location, and then we drilled down from those two or three locations. We found where the numbers would make sense as far as where they fit our criteria and our cash flow expectations.
Perfect. So you developed your property criteria. So the area that you wanted, the type of property that you wanted, and then you established basically your minimum deal standards, right?
That's exactly right.
Perfect. Okay, go ahead.
So we decided that would be Charlotte, North Carolina. And we developed a team over there. We worked with a realtor, actually, who was very good. And we started buying properties.
Okay, so you live, real quick, you live in Washington, D.C., and
I live in Washington, D.C.
And you decided to go in Charlotte. How far away is Charlotte from Washington, D.C.?
4.5 hours on the drive.
Okay, so that's far enough to be out of your own backyard. What did you do to create the team in Charlotte to be able to find a market that wasn't in your backyard to invest? And how did you build that team to do that?
Okay, I'll get to that in a second. Actually, I want to say something about the out-of-state. You know, at first, people were going to say the out-of-state is a disadvantage. You know, I think, after I've done it for a while, and we're still learning through it, but I think it's an advantage because it forces you to create the systems that you might not create if you're investing nearby.
Mm.
You know, you would put out that fire automatically if you could just drive down there, or you would do that, whatever it is. You would do it automatically if you could, if it was 15 or 20 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
When it's further, you have to have a system in place or it's going to eat you lunch. Now, how did we develop it? Well, we developed it through mistakes, basically. We didn't know, you know, what, we didn't know how. I listened to you constantly and I listened to other people and I read. I knew developing a team, but I wasn't sure how. So we went down there a few times. We kissed a lot of frogs, and I found the guy who, you know, worked with us. I found a realtor who was working with us. He had an established team as far as contractors. He had an experience with investors. So we kind of piggybacked off of his team.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, we went through many, many realtors. We went down there a few times. And we made a lot of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how we, quote unquote, build our team.
Got it. Well, you might, I don't know if you'll take comfort in this or not, but that's exactly how I built my teams. You know, a lot of people ask me, how do you find the right team members? How do you find good team members? And my answer is typically, well, you work with enough of the wrong team members to find the right ones.
Yeah,
because
I couldn't agree more.
Right? Because, I mean, when you're talking to them and you're getting ready to kiss that frog, I mean, they look pretty good before you kiss them. I mean, they're telling you exactly what you want to hear. They're telling you everything that it sounds great. So you give them a shot. And, you know, you don't realize it's a frog until after your lips have touched, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're exactly. I mean, that's, I mean, every, you know, I think of that, I think a little bit of that is because you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I think you. You know, but yeah, you're right. I mean, you want to hear the perfect thing, and they're telling you that. And until you, an investor realtor, and you've gone over this, is a whole different animal. I mean, it's somebody that's willing to. You can't tell the average realtor that, hey, I'd like you to write 10 or 15 offers a week.
Right.
But once a realtor sees that, at least in our case, and probably yours as well, that you're going to bring multiple deals. And you can bring other investors online.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to finally get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of guy we found.
Right, right. Yeah, once you display your competence and the people around you that are all, everyone that's involved in a real estate transaction, once they've seen competence and actual follow through, all of a sudden, everything gets a lot easier. The barriers come down.
Yeah, no, that's it. I mean, we had nobody's fault, but we talked to a lot of realtors, and I'm sure they've had a lot of people that called them as well, and with, you know, saying that they wanted to buy investment homes and stuff like that, and they probably got burned as well. So,
but
once they see that you're willing to pay, they're
right, right. Yeah, I mean, both sides have been burned, so you know, I'm not making realtors wrong because I was once one, and I know what kind of traffic comes your way, whether that's through the phone or through your ads or through an open house. You get a lot of people talking a big game and very little follow through on the back end. But, you know, when a realtor does recognize that there is follow through, you know, sometimes you just have to prove yourself first before you can ask the realtor to prove themselves.
I couldn't agree more.
Right. Perfect. Yeah. So now you're a buyer. Now you've got up to your fifth property. You know, why don't you share with me a story with the most creative acquisition that you've got out of those five?
I'll be honest. Most of ours are conventional.
Okay.
Now, I will tell you for a tip that the way we're structuring our deals right now is I am getting all our conventional loans in my name. My wife works as well, but the way that I guess that Fannie and Freddie are, my wife can actually get in her name as well. So as long as we don't put them both in our name, I can Fannie or Freddie out at 10 and 10 loans, and she can as well.
Mm.
So currently I am getting them all in my name. And once we hit that threshold where I can no longer, we're going to switch over to her.
Got it. Okay. Let me ask you a question about that. Cause when I was a realtor, if I had a married couple buying a property, you know, they would require both tax returns and they both ended up being on the loan. So you're able right now to get qualified for a loan all by yourself? They know you're married and you don't need your wife's participation?
Correct. As a matter of fact, you have to be diligent in making sure that the loan, and I've had the same loan officer for the loan now,
mm-hmm.
although we've gone past our five, so now we've kind of hit the investor area where we have to find special, even Fannie Mae loans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you can explain that better than I can, Matt. But we make sure to do it in just in my name. And as long as you, for us, as long as we've emphasized that I am the sole person on this loan, then that's fine. As long as I qualify strictly from my income.
Mm-hmm. Got it. You know, what would you say is your biggest takeaway from your experience inside of the academy?
I'll tell you that what separates you, at least to me, from everybody else, is that you haven't sugarcoated it. One, we had the common military background, and in some ways we talked the same language.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there was never a point where you said, you know, retire in, you know, less than a month and you're going to be rich. And actually that attracted me, because if it wasn't been easy, I really probably, either I wouldn't have trusted it, or I just don't think it would have caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And you've laid it out there. And one thing you've said that I've repeated to multiple people in some form is you do what nobody else will do for 2 years, and you live like nobody else can live for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's for some reason that's stuck. And you know, and now we're seeing the vision. Now things are materializing, and you're right. You know, we're matter of fact, that first contract for that wholesale was your contract.
Mm.
That was the contract you put out there. We used that for our first wholesale. What you said, it made sense to me more than where I'm hearing from other people I'm hearing now.
Got it. Thanks for sharing that. So at this point, you know, actually we haven't talked in a very long time, over a year. And I just got an email from you asking me about a deal or a situation that you are in. So what's going on in your real estate investing right now that you know, that's got you all excited?
Right now, we're just dealing excited. I'll be honest with you, because it's you know, we put in hours. We're doing the hard work, like you mentioned, and we're seeing it. We're adding properties. We're almost to the point, you know, where properties are buying properties. That's where, you know, we really want to get work. But I called you about it was a wholesale deal.
Mm-hmm.
And literally this was from me and Andy. We sent out Craigslist ad probably about 6 months ago. And somebody called and said that they were fed up and they were ready to sell. So we went down there and we got a price, and we started, you know, we looked around. So we started to contact our buyers list, and we found the buyer who was going to buy it at a price that we believed we could do better. So we told him the price we wanted, and he said that he doesn't believe that he didn't believe bird dogs should get that much money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't, you know, this might be, I don't know, but I don't believe you should tell me how much money I should get. I apologize if that's rough, but
no. What I always say to him, Jesse? I said, so what you're really telling me is you wish that you were me.
Right. Well, let me tell you further, Andy. I'm sorry, I called you Andy. Let me tell you further. That let me break down the deal for you, Matt. The deal was for, I'll break down the numbers if that's okay.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. So the deal was we got the property for $215, and we believed that you still had enough meat, plenty of meat on the bone at $225.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, we had multiple people coming in. So we came to him and we said $225, and I didn't want to deal with a double closing. I didn't want to deal with anything like that. So I said, I need a 10K finder's fee, me and Andy. He said no, but he was willing to pay $225 for the property, if mm-hmm. you can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have paid $225 for the property, but he wouldn't have paid $225 if it included $10K for a finder's fee.
Right.
So So he was just, you know.
No, I get it.
So what we did was we came back with the seller and we said, hey, look, we have a buyer. He can do the deal at the 215 that you want. And the thing is, from the proceeds of the closing, we require a $5,000 finder's fee.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, she was more than happy. She was ecstatic about, that's fine. As long as she got her 215, she didn't care anything more. So
right.
We just took the 5K from, or we're in the process of, that's the deal we're doing now, is taking the 5K from the proceeds of the sale and also taking the 5K from the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting the same amount of money. It's just a different way.
Got it. Yeah. From you've mentioned a few times for using the Craigslist ads and a splash page. First of all, is that the splash page that I show you how to build in the Free Academy?
Exactly.
Perfect. Awesome. And then your Craigslist ads. Do you always drive them to a splash page, or sometimes you use a phone number?
You know, we just use a phone number.
You just use a phone number.
Yeah,
okay.
I just, because we found that D.C., the market in this area, is just, if you can get on the phone, you just need to get on the phone. And you don't need to create any more
barriers.
You're right.
Got it. Perfect. And then you said you sent it out to your buyer's list. How did you build your buyer's list?
You know, you mentioned this before in multiple podcasts, but the buyer's list is, for us was easy because, first, we have a market that, it's highly competitive, and if you have a deal, I mean, you're going to have troves of buyers. So
you mean if you find the deal, the buyer will find you?
Correct. Correct.
Thank you for confirming.
I mean, I found a bunch of buyers from the previous house that I discussed earlier. You know, I went to the RIA meetings and stuff and things like that, but you put a real property at a real wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned this before too, like at a real wholesale cost. I mean, at price, you're not. That's not going to be the problem, at least here.
Mm-hmm. Right, at a real wholesale price, right?
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly. So I mean, that's just. I love that you're saying that because, you know, that's probably the most common question that I get is, I don't have the money, or how am I going to find the money, or why do I even want to go out there if I don't have the money? Aren't I lying to people if I tell them I have the money, and all these different crazy questions about the money? And if you find a deal, a real deal, your phrasing was at a real wholesale price, which is equivalent.
Right.
There's more than enough buyers out there. And then you found so many buyers from one deal. Now all of a sudden you had a bunch of buyers for your next deal.
Right.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
That's awesome, Jesse. That's so great to hear. I love hearing it. That's perfect. So what else? What do you see for your future now, and how is that going to impact your life?
So I'm very goal-oriented, and so is my wife. And this is how at least we're going to start, you know, our future, as far as this is going to create the foundational generational wealth that is going to move not only us forward, but, you know, this is, I really want this to be where generations of my family look back and say, wow, that's kind of where the turn happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've read and now I'm looking at biographies of successful real estate investors. And, you know, we've studied, and I think legitimately we can double our business every year.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds crazy, maybe not to you, but I don't think that's out of the realm. So our goal is to consistently grow our business.
Mm-hmm. Awesome mindset. It's the right mindset to have. And as long as you take the action correlate to that mindset, that'll be yours. I have no doubts. Jesse, last question. You know, things are going so good for you. I'm really happy to hear that. Looking back though, is there one thing that if you could do differently, you would?
You know, I think that I would do it differently, but I don't think I would have known it unless I made the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But I refer again, but you've talked about this multiple times on your podcast. Initially, when I started, I wanted to do everything. You know, I wanted to be the wholesaler. I wanted to be the investor. I wanted to be the flipper, possibly. I wanted to be the multifamily. There was no option that wasn't not on the table in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And at least right now, we just don't. You can't legitimately get great at something until you focus on. You get great at one thing, and maybe you can build from there.
Right.
But that's where I would have found one thing and got really good at it, and then as opposed to trying to dabble in everything.
Mm. Awesome. That's great. Well, thanks, Jesse. Thanks for hanging out with us here today and being so gracious with your time and so gracious and free with your sharing. I know you definitely touched people today. Many of the obstacles that you've been able to overcome, so many people have, and they share that, and I know they're identifying with you. So you've helped people today. So thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for everything, and what you're doing is fantastic for others. I really appreciate it, man.
You bet. Stay in touch, okay?
You too, brother.
All right. So that's it for today. Until next time, to your success. I'm Matt Terrio, and Jesse Milner, we're both living the dream.
You've been listening to Epic Real Estate Investing, the world's foremost authority on separating the facts from the BS in real estate investing education. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to visit iTunes and share your thoughts. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time here at Epic Real Estate Investing with Matt Terrio.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.